Well, praise the Lord and greetings in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. I am Pastor Johnny Magnus. I'm coming to you from Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church at 1004 North Osage, Okmulgee, Oklahoma, 74447. I'm glad to be in front of you today. Because of my work schedule, it's almost impossible to make it here at for the 7:30 start time that we normally have, 7:30 p.m. That we normally have on Tuesdays. So I'm going to begin coming early before I go to work, doing Bible class, and then each one can watch at their own convenience, listen at their own convenience. This morning we have the subject matter called Not Consumed, Not Consumed. And before we begin, I just want to always thank the Lord for Him being with us here at Mount Calvary. You hear it so often, and I hear Elder Pope and Elder Gentry say, don't take it for granted, because we have something special. The Spirit of the Lord visits us here. The love of God is in this place, the spirit of unity, and we want to keep it that way. Amen. And we keep it that way by acknowledging God and thanking Him for what He has done. And I thank the Lord for our elect lady, Zandra Magnus, amen, of Mount Calvary, my wife. We have decided to no longer say First Lady for our own reasons. We're not against anybody called First Lady, but she is our elect lady. Amen. We thank God for all of our ministers and deacons and everybody here that's just putting in the work, putting in the time. You're seeing what needs to be done, finding what your hands need to do, and you're doing it. And I'm just so grateful for that. Elder Gentry taught a wonderful lesson on Sunday. I was on the road headed to Lawton, and I was listening. Amen. And one thing I like is he's always genuine. You know, you don't have to worry about the place that it's coming from, because you know it's coming from a genuine place and is rooted in his belief in God. So we thank the Lord. Look, before we start, I want to ask one thing of you. Begin witnessing. Seek out opportunities to witness. Praise the Lord, Deacon Jones and Sister Vicky. Let's witness, people of God. We want to fill up the church, but we don't want to fill it up for the sake of saying we got a full church. People in Okmulgee need to be saved, just like people everywhere else need to be saved. Okmulgee County has a lot of things going on in it. And if we witness and pray and fast and seek God for what to say to these souls, a lot of them are going to be brought out of drugs. They're going to be brought out of the casinos. They're going to be brought out of illicit relationships. They're going to be brought out of, you know, a lot of things that they're going through. So we need to witness, and I want you to think about it in the terms of you're delivering somebody from death and destruction. When you witness to them, you're planting. Somebody else will water. Not all of them will come here, but we do want them to come here because we know that the Word of God is brought in Mount Calvary, and we want them to be saved. We don't want them just going to church. We want them saved, amen. Not just showing up on Sundays, but saved, amen. So go out and witness. Ask the Lord to guide you, to guide your mouth, to guide your tongue, guide your spirit, and open up your spirit and give you courage and the ability to witness. All right? All right. Our lesson today is called Not Consumed. Our first scriptures come from Exodus, the third chapter, verses 2-4. And we'll start with verse 2 here. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. From this is where we are talking about not consumed, because this was an amazing thing, and we'll talk more about it. But it's an amazing thing. There was a fire on the bush, but the bush was not consumed. So let's look at the bullet points here. The bush burned with fire, but was not consumed. We must understand our life is to be a wonder to souls who see we deal with injustice, pain, budget issues, and are not consumed. People of God, being consumed in this case means being overcome with sin, and allowing what we are going through to take away from us, to strip from us the love of God. One scripture says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And so if we allow ourselves to be consumed, in other words, somebody make us mad, we just eat up with anger and unforgiveness. Well, then we're not able to reveal the glory of God. This bush being burned but not consumed was revealing something that had never been seen before. It was revealing only what the power of God was able to do. And when people see us, because the people of the world know what the normal, natural reactions are of the flesh, of our own minds, of our own spirit. So they are watching you. They're watching me, and they're looking at us when we go through some things, and they're expecting us to act just like they would. In reaction to these things. But when we don't allow these things to overcome us and strip away the love of God, strip away the dedication that we have to the Lord, they will marvel at that. And that's what we need to do. Our witness needs to be by mouth, but the most important witness is, because once you go and witness to someone, they're going to be watching you. They're going to be checking you out and like, is he for real? Is she for real? And so when we witness by words, by mouth, that's when they're going to be able to see the witness by our lifestyle. And saints, we've got to make sure that we understand, as saved individuals, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. So don't ever let these tricksters that are on television, radio, that produce these big revivals and all this kind of stuff. Some of them are wonderful, but a whole lot of them are tricksters telling you that if you come to the Lord, and what they're really trying to say, if you come to us and give us this money, you're just going to be so overwhelmingly blessed. Money's going to be flowing like a waterfall and all that. That's a lie. When you serve the Lord, the Bible has clearly told us, if you go all the way back to Genesis and come all the way through the New Testament, you're going to see every servant of God had to go through some things. Amen. And I tell people sometime, whatever I'm going through, doubtless I would have had to go through those things whether I was saved or not. But I'm so glad that I'm able to go through it while being saved. Do I handle all of it the way that I should? Absolutely not. But because I do know who the Lord is, and I'm able to depend upon him and trust him for his power, he's able to bring me up out of the drudges of my own mind and my own emotions and let me be stable. All right. And some of us are better than others at going through various different things. For instance, like, I have broken so many bones in my life, it's not even funny. And so I built up a tolerance for pain on broken bones, okay? But let me get that little prick at the end of my finger, or let me get a mild headache. Some of you suffer migraines and whatnot, and you handle it like a trooper. Let me get a little headache, and I think that I'm suffering a migraine. So there's certain things I can deal with that other people can't, and there's certain things I can't deal with as well that other people can. So we need to watch ourselves and know what our weaknesses are, our weak areas are, and make sure that we don't let ourselves get consumed by these things and allow it to cause us to go back to a drink or to a smoke or to a certain type of language or to the casino or to a boyfriend or a girlfriend or to lash out at people on the job or, you know, take chances that you shouldn't take. All the different kind of things that can come in and destroy us. And remember, Satan said he comes to kill. The Bible says that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And you would think if Satan has power, that he would just come in and wipe us all out. But no, he wants our minds completely destitute of God. He wants us to be completely wrecked. He wants us to be completely consumed of the flesh and of the things of this world. And if he can come in and do that, that means he's done his first thing, steal. Now, once we're totally consumed with fleshly things and things of the world, we will do things that take us out. It's not that he has power over our life, but we give it to him if we allow ourselves to be consumed. He don't want to kill us unless we have been consumed. He don't want us out of here unless he has stolen that thing that God has given us, which is our soul, our eternal salvation. And if he's able to do that, now we will be set up for death. And then if we die once consumed, once our mind is messed up, once our soul has been permeated with the things of the flesh and of this world, then we are destroyed, never to be repaired. If there's repairs that need to be made, we need to do it on this side. Amen. Because once we die, there's no repairs that can be made. I don't care how many beads that priests come and put over you and pray the prayer of rosary and all that. None of that's going to make any difference. Once you're dead, you're dead. And you can't ask God for forgiveness. You can't correct anything. You can't worship. You can't serve the Lord because dead is dead. So people of God, please understand that this was a wonder and the bush was not consumed. And again, let me read the second bullet point. We must understand our life is to be a wonder to souls who see we deal with injustice, pain, budget issues, but still we are not consumed. All right. Being consumed is allowing the fire to cause us to sin. And we just covered that. So when you go through something, no, you're not expected to be bouncing up and down like kids in the bouncy house, laughing and having a great deal of joy. But we did have an apostle said that he takes pleasure in infirmities and the various different things. Not that he's laughing. He's not an idiot. He's not out of his mind, but he does understand that when he's going through these things, it is revealed to him that his strength, his intellect, his physical strength, his connections are no good. And it forces him to understand the power and the strength of God. So when we go through, we lean on God more and better than we do when things seem to be going just fine. When you're sitting down to a bowl of Fruit Loops every morning, everything is going fine. Sometimes you don't have a tendency to reach out to God and tell him that you love him, to trust him and depend upon him. You don't do it. But when you go through some things, which you will, not just to force you to get closer to God, but the enemy is trying to do what? Steal. So that he can kill and completely destroy. So the enemy is going to come in. He will persecute us. We will suffer persecution. We will go through some things. But the Bible says, if you suffer with him, you'll also reign with him. All right? Putting on airs to make it appear we are never going through is pride and hides the glory of God in our lives. Now, look, this isn't to say that we should be telling everybody our deep, dark secrets of what we are dealing with, what we are going through and all of that kind of stuff. But sometimes people don't want to testify about how God came through on their behalf because they don't want anybody to ever know that they were going through anything. Because the tricksters for the last three decades or more have been telling people in a big way that if you're in God, that means you're healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, there's nothing wrong with being healthy, wealthy, and wise, but I'm sure you have known, just as I have known, people that are neither healthy and neither wealthy, but they are wise. Amen. Because they serve the Lord and the Lord speaks to their heart. Their mind is refreshed in the things of God, but they are spiritually healthy Amen. They are spiritually wealthy and they are spiritually wise. But because people think that I have to have a certain degree of material things and my physical nature has to be this, that, or another, I'm ashamed. I can't tell people that that I've been going through some things. Look here, let's testify to the goodness of the Lord. He brought you through. Other people saw what you were going through, and so let's testify to the goodness of the Lord, because if we act like we've never been through anything, that we're not going through anything, then the pride that we have to hide that from everybody also hides the glory of God that brought us through. So tell somebody about his goodness. Amen. When that pain that you've been dealing with for a year and a half suddenly dissipates, don't just walk around in the comfort that you now have and don't say anything. Let God's people know that I was in pain for a year and a half, but God came through and took the pain away. And now I don't have this great level of discomfort. If you were going through a financial situation and you were barely making ends meet, but God still saw you to make the ends meet, but you didn't have extra anything. And then when God brings you out of that and you're more stable and you're eating better and bills are being paid better, tell the people of God how good God is, because the glory of God needs to be seen. And then they'll reflect on that and say, I never knew brother so-and-so. I never knew sister so-and-so was going through all of that. And that will reveal the glory of God. That is the bush that burns but not consumed. They will look at you in the same way and say, I just saw them giving praise to God, worshiping him. They didn't change. They wasn't gruff with anybody. Everything was the same with them. If anything else, they were even more than they ever had been. And I never knew they were going through this. That helps them to understand. You know what? I also can be a burning bush that is not consumed. If they went through it, I can go through it also. God is so good. All right, verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Bullet point. What have we or we going through that will cause someone to turn aside to see the great spectacle? So basically harping on the same thing that I was just saying here is this, that if we don't ever go through anything, nobody ever understands the power and authority of God in our lives. They do not recognize how great God is. We think telling people how big our bank account is, or showing them how shiny our car is, or wearing the best of our wardrobe in front of them shows people how good God is. Well, folks who don't serve God have all of that. But when we go through our sickness, when we go through our relationship issues, when we go through our job issues, when we go through our financial issues, and we all these things are culminating up on us at the same time, but we continue to live for the Lord, sin free, not allowing ourselves to be disrupted by doing the things that the world does. A lot of folk, everything is just fine as long as all the walls are up just the way they want it, but as soon as one of the walls get a crack in it, they're back out in the club shaking their rump. They're back to cussing folks out. They're back to throwing a fist. And we got to understand there's got to be something about us that will cause the world to turn aside and see what this great spectacle is. What is this in this person? I know they just got demoted. I knew before they went up to the boss's office that they were going to be stripped of their title. And they came down and acted like nothing was wrong. I heard about the wreck that they had last week and broke their leg and didn't have insurance, full coverage insurance on the car. And they still acting just like they always have acted. This one over here, their wife left them And you would think that they would be down in the dump. She did everything for him, but he just keeps on praising the Lord. This is where we got to be. We've got to be that great spectacle that causes the world to turn aside and look. And that's where scripture says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Saints of God, we are that bush that it is in the fire. Amen. We are going through on every side. Amen. And the world is looking at us. Other saints are looking at us to see what we're going to do while this fire is there. And when they see that we are not consumed, this is going to be a blessing to them, blessing to the world to understand God is real, a blessing to the people of God to understand if they are doing that, if I ever face this, I can also. A lot of times, saints, you don't know how much strength you have, all right? The ones who are always talking about, you know, I ain't worried about it. If I go through such and such, I know I can handle it. A lot of times those are going to be the ones, they're going to flop. All right. And they won't be able to make it through. But the ones who are observing, the things that other people are going through, they're pondering it. And they're the ones who say, Lord, I pray that if I ever go through something like that, that you'll be there for me like that, that I can have the kind of strength that they have. Those are the people that will, because I used to marvel at folks that was going through some high, mighty, high pressure things. And I said, I just don't think that I could do that. I don't think I could handle that. And then when a time came in our lives that we suffered something that we never thought that we would suffer, never even thought about it, because you think that since I live right, I make the right decisions based on the things of God, I instruct my kids this way and that way, and all these different kind of things, you don't think these things can happen. And then when it does, you find yourself with more strength than you ever thought you could have. Why? Because you looked at others, you pondered on what they were dealing with and going through, and it caused you to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, give me this kind of strength should I ever have to go through anything like this. And God will give you that strength. You've got to be that bush that, because you're going to go through, saved or unsaved, you're going to go through. But if you're saved, you're going through with the hand of God guiding you through. Remember the Hebrew boys, when they were in the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar himself said, did we not throw put three in the fire? And behold, now there is a fourth like unto the Son of Man. Jesus revealed himself in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys. They had to go through. And their frame of mind was, people of God, before they went into the fiery furnace, it was this. We don't know if God is going to deliver us. He might let us burn in here. But whether he let us burn or whether he bring us through, we are still not going to be overcome by sin. We are not going to bow down to your music. We're not going to put any worship towards your gods. We will deal with what we got to deal with. Saints of God, too often our frame of mind is, we want to make a deal with God. Well, God, if you bring me out of this, I'll do this. No, it's got to be, Lord, I'm going to live saved. I'm going to live sin free, regardless of what you do or don't do. Now, Lord, I really want you to do it. But Lord, I know you have your reasons why you do or don't do. I know you have your timing on when you will do what you decide to do. But Lord, I'm going through this anyway. That's the frame of mind we have to have. All right. What is it that we're dealing with that is so astronomical that the unsaved must note and the saved is encouraged by? So think about it. You're going through something and you will go through some things later. And I've noticed through my life that we have recesses from time to time. You go through some things that sometimes nobody knows about because it's up here and it's in here. Then you go through some things that everybody knows about because it's noised abroad. It's something that happened physically, materially, and everybody knows about it. Amen. But what is it that you are going through that you will have a testimony about at some point that the Lord delivered you, that the Lord brought you through. I want to encourage you, keep on going through. Put on the whole armor of God. And having done all to stand, I encourage you to stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Amen. The Lord can keep you. The Lord can help you. The Lord can deliver you if you want to be delivered, if you want to be kept, if you want to be helped. God is the helper, the keeper of your soul. Amen. So whatever you are going through, whether it's the things that other people can see, you know, one of our deacons, he comes in here and he's faithful. And I see that limp and I know that he is in pain and I hate seeing that. But he still keeps a smile on his face. He still does the things that he began doing years ago. He doesn't allow himself to falter because of the pain that he is dealing with. And at some point, we're going to see him walking freely, strutting like he was when he was 25. And we're going to know that the Lord brought him out. But the thing about it is, we're not just happy that the pain is gone. We're happy because he still lived for the Lord in spite of what he was going through. A lot of folk, when they're really going through hard, they keep blaming God. They keep coming up with stuff to be upset at God about. And look, a lot of us, when we were young, we did a lot of crazy things. We played sports, and especially when we were boys, we probably climbed trees and fell out of a few. We jumped over ravines and missed the edge of the other one, and we were doing damage to our bodies, amen, but we didn't really feel it then. But when we get older, we start feeling it. Whether saved or unsaved, that pain was going to come. Am I right about it? But the great thing is, being saved, amen, we know that the Lord is our helper, and we know that through prayer, we know God can heal. Now, if he decides to or not, because Paul said, I asked the Lord three times, and three times I didn't get an answer, and the only answer I got was, my grace is sufficient unto thee. But Paul said, he's still going to serve the Lord, all right? And that's got to be our frame of mind. And then we'll look at when the healing comes, we say, Lord, thank you for the healing, even more than the healing. Lord God, thank you for your keeping power in the midst of all that pain. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. People of God, look what God did. He gave Moses a spectacle to look at. And because it caught his attention, God was able to call unto Moses and tell him to come here. When people look at you while you are going through whatever you are going through, you are a spectacle to them. You are a testimony to them that Jesus is real. And the Lord is able to call to them based upon how the Lord is moving in your life. You're going through. You've got stuff you're dealing with in your life that they know about, and they're observing that and saying, even though they're going through all of that, they have not turned back aside to the things that they used to do. And out of this, the Lord is able to call unto them. Amen. One planteth, another watereth, God giveth the increase. And this was the increase. That bush was to do the planting and watering for Moses, and God called unto him. Are we going to live the way we need to live so that souls can be called unto God? Let's live the way God wants us to live, that he intends for us to live. In 1 Corinthians 10, the 13th verse, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I'm going to read these bullet points, and this is a wonderful scripture verse, and if we read God's word, we can go through, because we'll understand the mind of God. We'll understand that our thinking is completely different from God's thinking. We'll understand that the little antidotes that the world has, the little antidotes that the worldly preachers have, don't fit the script of God. Amen. God's ways are higher than our ways, as the heaven is above the earth. And so when we know what the word is saying, we are able to go through because we know what God wants for us. Bullet point says, we must know that our escape is often in the Rock of Ages, who are cleft for us. That reminds me of Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you have a relationship with God, when you know Him and you exist in Him in a place that's not just physical, but in your heart, in your mind, you can escape from the physical things and the material things that are taking place because you can ascend above it. Even though you have excruciating pain, even though there are extenuating circumstances surrounding you, you are able to escape that because of the love you have for God, the worship you have of Him, and the knowledge of knowing where you're going to go when you leave this place, because you'll be telling yourself, it won't always be this way. I'm suffering this now, but when that great and notable day of the Lord come, I'm going to be able to get out of here, and I will have no more physical pain. I will have no more financial disparity. I will have nobody else barking at me and fussing at me and looking at me crazy. I won't have any more of the pressures of this life, and I'm just looking forward to that. And that is an escape for sure. And many times God does deliver us physically, but there are some things that remain physically, materially, that we are able to rise above because of who we know. Amen. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. In other words, he was taken out of the prison of the Isle of Patmos. Even though his body was there, his mind, his spirit, his soul had escaped this prison that he was in, amen, because he was able to ascend in his mind. He was out of the body, if you will, by way of his spirit, and none of those things had any power or authority over him. All right, we must know that our escape is often in the Rock of Ages, who will cleft for us. That song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. In other words, cleft means to make an indentation, there's rain out here. There's all kind of stuff going on out here. But make an indentation in the rock so that I can back up into that rock and be spared from the wind and the rain and the hail and the everything that's going on. And we hide in Jesus. Jesus is the rock. Amen. And we hide in Him. We wrap ourselves in the things of God, hymns, scriptures, witnessing, praying, denying the flesh. If we don't deny the flesh, if we do the things that our mind causes us to remember, the things that our flesh wants to do, if we do those things, then we're not going to be able to wrap ourselves in hymns and scriptures. Amen. And we certainly won't witness because we won't have any fire burning in us. We won't have any desire towards God because the sin has taken the desire away. So listen, the way that we escape is we wrap ourselves up in hymns, scriptures, witnessing, praying, and denying the flesh. We are on fire, but not consumed, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. So we're able to overcome. We're able to go through. Remember, Daniel still had to go into the lion's den. The lions didn't eat him, but he still had to go in there. A lot of things that would have overcome us if we were not in God, we still have to go through the same things we would have gone through in the world, and some things even more than what we would have gone through in the world because we serve God. But because He is on our side, the detriment, the level of detriment that would have existed is not there now, but we still have to go through it. So Daniel still had to go through the lion's den. Daniel and the Hebrew boys, even though they were slaves also, just like the other Israelites, they were afforded the ability to do service to their God. They wanted to fast. And because they wanted to fast and keep their relationship in God, God made a way for them. Amen. And so, look at Joseph. Joseph, was going to have to do hard time, and he did do some hard time, but God made a way of an escape. He didn't have to stay in there the whole time. You would think that a man that was accused of being with or trying to be with, the governor's wife would be killed. But God made a way, and even though it was a false accusation, God made a way for him, and he came up out of there, and he ended up being second in command of the country. God has a way of doing things, but we got to have our way of doing things, which is saying, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to wait on you. I know you're going to bring me through. And if you don't bring me through in this life, you will bring me through in the life to come. All right. No matter the pressures, persecutions, or from what source, God is the answer to the fire that is without power to consume. Because of the fire that we have on the inside, people of God, the fire of God, the Holy Ghost that we have on the inside, we are able to overcome the fire that comes in attempt to derail us, to distract us, to throw us off of our course. Amen. In Philippians, the first chapter, verses 19 and 20, Philippians 1, 19 and 20, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I tell you, Paul just puts it where the rubber meets the road. And this is strong. So in the bullet points, expectation and hope won't allow sin to manifest. For hope maintains its stand of holiness, not allowing trials to overtake it. So there is a scripture that says, hope maketh not ashamed. And I remember the you know, sometimes we read scripture verses, but we kind of gloss over it, and we may not even remember that we read it. But I remember the first time that that scripture caught hold in my mind, and it forced me, because once I saw it for real, I'm like, what in the world does this mean? Hope maketh not ashamed. Well, when you go to study that scripture verse and you study it by looking at the words and the definitions of the words, and sometime you go to a commentary and look at what they say, but you have to observe it also with your own life. If you have a life in Christ, there are things that will be explained by what you have already gone through. And you understand that your hope in Christ is maintained through hands off on sin, through your mind off on sin. So when you don't think corruption, when you don't do corruption, your hope, your expectation of eternal life with the Lord remains intact. And the more your hope is in Christ Jesus, the less sin, the less flesh has any power with you, because you're thinking to yourself, I got to make it to heaven. I got to stay right with the Lord, because if I don't, I won't get to make it there. So I can't allow this to come in. I can't do the things that I used to do anymore. Even though I had fun pulling the lever at the casino, I can't go pull that lever no more, because that's a distraction. That's something that's going to take me out of worship toward God. It's going to take away my hope of God, and my hope is going to be in the change that comes out of the machine. Look, y'all, I don't know how the machines work anymore. I hear people talking about it, and I understand they push a button now, and I guess money don't come out of the machine no more. They give a receipt to somebody inside there. But regardless of how it is done, these things are intended to switch partners, all right? You were with God, but then all of a sudden your hope in God is transferred to hope in, can I win this $1,000 at the casino? Or hope in, will this girl or will this boy love me as much as I love them? It's transference. Anywhere the enemy can deviate your mind, that's what he wants to do. So understand, keep your hope in check. Amen. Let your hope be in the things of God. And when your hope is in the things of God, some of the things that you hope for down here won't distress you so much if they don't come to fruition. Why is that? Because you know that your primary hope is intact. Amen. Your primary hope is in the life after this life. So if this doesn't pan out the way I wanted to, hey, no big thing, because I'm still going home to be with the Lord. All right. Regardless of what direction our lives go, our objective is that Christ be magnified in us. That bush magnified Christ because it was on fire, but it was not consumed. It caused Moses to pay attention to it. And because of his attention to it, God was able to, out of that bush, call Moses to him. And our life needs to be like that bush, where people see us going through. They know the life that we live and the stresses that we have, but they also see us still continuing to serve God. And out of that burning bush that is called our life, God is able to call them and say, see, I have a servant here. I have a servant there. I have another one over here. And you've seen them. It's time for you to become one of my servants, my son or my daughter, and it's time out for you to say that I'm not real, because you see that I'm real through these that you have been observing. People of God, we've got to be that burning bush, amen, that is not consumed. So whether it is by great deeds or suffering, we are willing to remain intact spiritually so Christ can be magnified. Lord, if you use me to speak, heal, comfort in holiness without sin, souls will turn aside to see your greatness. All right. And that's what it's all about. When the Lord uses us to do something, people of God, be very careful not to get lifted up and proud. It wasn't you, but it was you. Okay. It was the power of God that came through you. You cannot duplicate what God did. So whenever you get proud and into yourself about what God did through you, when you're called upon to do it again, you can't. Why? Because you don't have the power. God has the power. And only when you allow yourself to be used as a receptacle, as an oracle, as somebody who is trusting God and depending upon him, only then will God's power be able to flow through you. You have to be humble enough to realize that, Lord, I know this is not me, Lord, but use me, Lord, to lay hands on this one and they be healed, to lay hands on this one and they be filled with your spirit, Lord God. And once you do your mighty work, oh God, don't let me be puffed up. Don't let me get beside myself, oh God, but let me always be in a position to be used by you. All right. Yet, Lord, if by trial and tumult they are to turn aside and see, I will yet not be consumed by sin, that the glory of you is clearly understood. When people get beside themselves and think it's them, the bush is gone. The fire consumes it. The reason why the bush burned and was not consumed, because that was the power of God. We can't explain how anything like that is able to happen. Amen. And when you're going through whatever you're going through, when you allow the Lord to use you to do things on his behalf, then the bush, you're still going through some things. The fire is burning, but you're not consumed and you're able to be used of the Lord. But then whenever you stand up in pride, whenever you do that, other sin will come in, because now you begin to think, it's me. I got this on lock, as they say out here. And when you do that, you'll begin to do things that you ought not to do, thinking that at any time, God can just use me how he want to use me, and no problem. But what you're really saying is, I have this talent, I have this ability, and it's just going to be there on call. It doesn't work like that, all right? God will use you if you let yourself be sin free. And how do you do that? You've got to study. You got to pray, you got to fast, amen, and you got to put this word in application. You got to apply the word in your life. It can't just be a thing that I come to church on Sunday. It can't just be a thing that throughout the course of the week, I live a decent, wholesome life and this, that. There has to be a sense of urgency toward the Lord, amen, to get closer to him. Lord, I want to be closer to you today than I was on yesterday, because I realize the enemy is ramping up, and I realize he wants to kill me, so I need to do more than what I have been doing to get close to you. All right. When they turn aside to see, what will they see? A man overtaken of sin, or a man revealing the power of God? Amen. We want to make sure that they see the right thing. Our last scripture passage is 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 11. 4, 6 through 11, 2 Corinthians. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Only by way of Jesus do you have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. All right? It's too many people trying to bypass the Lord. And this was Eve's problem. This was many ancient civilizations' problems. This is many people's problem today. They want every other way other than the way of Jesus. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's verse 7. Understand, people of God, we can't do this thing by any thing that we have. I don't care if you have a doctorate. I don't care if you're 87 years old and you have much experience. I don't care if you got connections like nobody else has ever had. I don't care how much money you have in the bank, what your stature is, what your physical strength is. You could be strong like Samson. This says here, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. When we allow the power of God to be the power in us, and not our own mind, and not our own physical strength, not what we think we possess to be our strength, then we are that bush that burns without being consumed, and the world can be drawn to God by seeing his power in us. It's only the power of God that will draw. It says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why we need the Holy Ghost, so that the power can be of God. We don't any longer have to rely on our own mind and our own devices, but now the power is of God, and that is an excellent power. Now look, we have this for a reason, so that God's power can be the power. And then it goes on to say, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Why is that? Because the excellency of the power in us is of God and not of us. All right. So now we can go through whatever we go through without being consumed with. And again, consumed means without going into sin, without being overtaken by fleshly deeds, without being overtaken by a corrupt mind, without being overtaken with violence and bad words and repeating things that we did when we were in the world. Why? Because the excellency of the power of God is in us instead of us. And that treasure is the Holy Ghost. And where is that treasure? It's in earthen vessels. What is the earthen vessel? This thing right here, the power of God is on the inside of us. And even though we are troubled on every side, yeah, it bothers us. I mean, when we're going through some stuff, you telling me If I get cut right here by a knife, that I won't wince and maybe a tear won't come up in the corner of my eye and that I won't treat it and dress it and put a Band-Aid over it. I know that I've been cut. It hurts. All right. It's there. It's going to let me know it's there until it heals, because between the pain of the early couple of days, the itching that takes place after that while it's healing, and the having to be careful because of the scab and everything for a time after that, I know that cut is there. But guess what? I'm not distressed. I'm not happy about it. I'm not bouncing up and down ecstatic about so many different things in our lives, but we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. All right. We don't have time to get into the depth of each one of these words, but understand that these are very strong words when we talk about distressed and despair. Even though we are troubled and even though we are perplexed, why does everybody, not everybody, but why do so many people who serve the Lord think that they have to understand all mysteries? All right. When you read what the apostles wrote, you know that they don't understand, or they didn't understand all mysteries. The prophets of old, they wrote the prophecies, and many of the prophecies, they didn't know what the prophecy was about. You just serve God and you have a peace that passeth all understanding. What is that peace that passeth all understanding? Lord, I know you know. And even though I don't fully understand, I'm just comfortable in the fact that you do, and I'm in your will, and I don't have to worry about it. And when you reveal it to me, that'll be just fine, and that'll be the time that I need it revealed to me. But you don't have to act like you know everything, all right? You can be perplexed, but just not in despair. Just because you don't know why you're going through what you're going through, just because you don't understand what brought this on, don't let it drop you down into the depths of despair, thinking, why is this? Woe is me. I thought I was on the Lord's side. Y'all remember Jeremiah? Jeremiah basically said, but Lord, I'm your man. You letting this stuff happen to me? And then he said, I ain't gonna speak no more about the name of the Lord. But it didn't take very long before he said, you know what? It's just like fire shut up in my bone. When you really love the Lord, there's something about his word. There's something about that relationship you have with him that will overcome the so-called despair that was trying to set in. Why is that? Because of the treasure hidden in the earthen vessels. The excellency of the power has risen up to overcome your power of your mind, your thinking, and your emotions. All right. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. So these things, they will happen. They have happened. They are happening, and they will happen. All right. But because of the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. I heard somebody preaching that not too long ago here. You need the Holy Ghost, so that you'll understand just because you're going through some stuff, God has not forsaken you. All right. God, you know, we all want to feel God the same way we feel him when the spirit is high in the service, the same way we feel him when we're alone in the house and we can cry out to him without anybody else being around to hear us, and we feel his presence in a mighty way, and we always want to feel him that way. But a lot of time when you're going through some stuff, you're so heavy and so weighted down, you're not able to feel God's presence like you want to. But trust this, that he's right there. He's as close as he has ever been. And when you call upon him, even though you don't feel him, when you call upon him, he's not so far that he cannot hear. Amen. His ears are not so small that he can't pick up what you're asking him. Amen. Look, just because you're going through, don't think that you are forsaken. And even though things happen to your body, things happen to your money, you are not destroyed. God has not forsaken you, and he has the power of life and death, and you are not destroyed. Look, your spirit stays intact. All other kind of stuff can disappear and rust and all this kind of stuff, but your spirit is still intact. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Look, we go through a lot of things, And because of what we're going through is so that Jesus can be made manifest through what we are dealing with. So you will have to suffer. There's no doubt about it. If you read your Bible, you'll see that suffering is something that you will go through. Every one of the apostles, I think, except for one, were killed for the name of Jesus' sake. They were tortured and they were killed for the name of Jesus' sake. I think they tried to kill John and he got away. I'll have to revisit that. And then he ended up dying, I think, a normal death. But the apostles were killed for the name of Jesus' sake. Many of the saints in the first century were tortured and killed for the name of Jesus' sake. But somehow we didn't let the tricksters tell us, if you come to the Lord, I tell you what, your house will always smell like frankincense and myrrh. Your pillows will always be cool on every side, and everything is going to be just fine. Yeah, everything will be just fine. In our spirit, in our heart, amen. The enemy cannot destroy us. He cannot take us off the path that we are on, but we go through these things. Why? So that Jesus can be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. There's a lot of repetitiveness in scriptures to drive home the point. I believe Bishop Taylor used to say to rub it in. You got to marinate it. You got to rub it in. And so understand that what we go through is teaching others how great God is. Amen. When they see us still yet standing in the Lord, they say that is a power that I don't recognize anywhere else, that they can continue to stay strong for Jesus in spite of what they are going through. I saw them cry tears. I saw them hurt physically. I saw them hurt financially, but they never stopped serving the Lord. They were a bush that was on fire at various different times in their lives, but they were never, ever consumed. God is so good. Saints of God, let it be said of us that we are not consumed. And let it be in us that, as it was with Moses when he saw that bush being burned but was not consumed, he said, let me turn aside and see this great spectacle. And when he turned aside to see, that's when the Lord was able to call him. Saints, go through with honor. Go through with strength. Go through with the hope of eternity in you, so that the souls of God, the sons and daughters that don't know that they're sons and daughters yet, they can turn aside and see what you are dealing with, but they see the power of God that is driving you, pushing you, and keeping you sane, and keeping you serving him, keeping you delivered, keeping you saved. Amen. And they'll see that and they'll turn aside and say, you know what? I got to see what this God thing is about that they're dealing with. Because we got churches, not we, but there are churches where they go through all the motions, but there's no concern to live for God. So people are not seeing the life that should be lived. But if you do it, if I do it, they get to see what the real deal is. Amen. And when they see the real deal, then the Lord can call unto them and they can be saved. God bless you, people of God. I'll be looking to hear your voices on the prayer call on Friday night at 7 o'clock p.m. Amen. Elect Lady will be in charge of the prayer. Amen. And don't forget, we have the Minister, Deacon, Trustees, Wives, and Evangelist Convention coming up on May 2nd. Or is it May 3rd, First Lady? I forget. It's on that Friday. Amen. It'll be right here at Mount Calvary, 7 p.m. on that Friday night. So whether it's the 2nd or the 3rd, whatever that Friday night is, it's right here. And we have our service beginning at 11 o'clock this coming Sunday morning. God bless you, people of God. Love you. Always remember to like and share Mount Calvary videos. God bless.